Okay, so we discussed how to go about learning Hashgacha through Tanakh and through Torah and the Nevi'im. And the last avenue that we have to discuss is how to go about learning Hashgacha through the Ma'amarei Chazal, or rather, seeing Ma'amarei Chazal as a primary avenue through which we learn Hashgacha. And the first question that we need to tackle is, you know, by what authority can, you know, do Chazal tell us these things if, you know, they're limited in their understandings of God, perhaps in the same way that we are limited? If it came from the Torah, okay, that comes from God. And if it comes from, the Nevi'im, I understand that also comes from God, just in a, you know, in a little bit of a different, on a little bit of a different level. But Chazal should be limited in a sense in the same way that that we are limited. So what is their Makor Samchut? Where does their authority come from? Now, you could just say they're using their Seichel, and we would get back into the debate about what Seichel can and cannot do. So what we already saw, though, in the Chovot Levavot, is he explains that Chazal, or what we're receiving as a tradition, was basically passed down to them through the Nevi'im. So right now, we may lack a direct verbal Mesorah from the Nevi'im to the Chachamim of our generation, and so we learn it in Svarim. But at least in the time of the Tanaim, and in the time of the Amoraim, right, before any of the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, they relied completely upon a direct oral Mesorah from the Nevi'im to Chazal. And it stands to reason, therefore, that any Hashkafic idea that Chazal is teaching us, they're not inventing, rather they're giving over a Mesorah that they have from the Nevi'im. Now, in a similar vein, but slightly different, Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura asks a famous question on Masechet Avot. Masechet Avot starts with a recap, an explanation of our Mesorah. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Har Sinai, he passed it to Yeshua, Yeshua to Zkenim, and Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura asks a very famous question, which is, this is not the first Masechet in Shas. Brachot is the first Masechet in Shas. Avot is closer to the end than it is to the beginning. It's towards the end of Nezikin. You know, we've covered most of Shas at this point. Why is this the place to, you know, why is this the place to share what our Mesorah is? At the beginning of Brachot, you should tell me how Moshe Rabbeinu got all this information and then how we have it today. In fact, Avot is perhaps the least suspecting place to stick a, you know, a recap of our Mesorah, since we're not even talking about halachot, we're not even talking about dinim, we're talking primarily about ideas. And what Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura is mechadish there, which you can also find, you know, in the Meiri, suggests something similar, is that, no, Davka, this is the place to discuss our Mesorah. By all the other halachas, you have a hava amina, that you know, you have no hava amina that they're making these things up. Of course, the halachas you get from Moshe at Sinai, but good midas, being mekabel kol adam besever panim yafot, you know, greeting people with a smile on your face, being nice, okay. You know, every religion, every nation has their modes of appropriate behavior, and we have ours. And our chachamim of the Mishnah, they're our biggest chachamim, and they're telling us how to behave appropriately. Explains Rav Avadya, no, this is Mesorah. Everything you find in Pirkei Avot is a Mesorah from Moshe, from Har Sinai, no less so than the dinim of Torah Shebaal Peh. And for that reason, it's fit, it's appropriate to teach our Mesorah here, and because you're going to assume perhaps the opposite, it's most appropriate to teach it here. We're about to teach you a lot of nice ideas, a lot of things you may assume the human being decided this would be a good thing to do, but no, our Tanaim are passing down their Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and these ideas are no less Mesorah than are our Halacha. The Vilna Gaon has a commentary on Masechet Avot that basically highlights this point, because the Vilna Gaon doesn't comment in the normal way that others comment. He just brings makorot. Where in Tanakh is this idea found? One of the Tanaim said the following idea, expressed the following sentiment. The Vilna Gaon is going to tell you, how does he know that? It seems to be found in the following place in Tanakh. So, these ideas that are expressed from Chazal can be a Mesorah from our Nevi'im, can be a direct Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, or can be understood and extracted through the text of the Torah and through Nevi'im and Ketuvim, as we mentioned earlier, as the commentary of the Vilna Gaon would suggest. Something that I heard from Rav Schechter is that the name Avot, so this term Avot is something that we find in the beginning of Bava Kamma, and we find that there are Avot Nezikin, there are kind of overarching categories of damage law, and then there are Toladot, there are subcategories of damage law. And Rashi there explains that, okay, you know, since they're both categories of damage law, and they're both from the Torah, why are one called Avot and one called Toladot? What's the difference? And Rashi explains that the ones that are called Avot are to indicate that these are the damage laws that are written in the text of the Torah, whereas the other ones are the ones that are that we have through Torah Shebaal Peh. And Rav Schechter uses this concept to explain the Vilna Gaon and to explain the name Pirkei Avot. Why Avot? Just like by Nezikin, we see that Avot are the ones that are written explicitly in the text. So to Avot, these are the Jewish ideas that are written explicitly in or implicitly in the text of the Torah and of Nach. And these are basically the primary methods that Chazal use to teach us Hashkafa. Mesorah from Nevi'im, Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, or they learned it from Tanakh. Lastly, we have a domain that admittedly I'm not an expert in, and I can't explain all that well how exactly this works, but you do have the realm of Kabbalah and Ruach HaKodesh. Meaning we do believe that you can arrive at truth not necessarily through intellect, but through divine revelation that exists even now that is not proper Nevuah, but functions kind of, you know, in a similar way, that we receive something through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not necessarily through the intellect, rather through through Ruach HaKodesh. And that we saw going all the way back to the first year, was this, or the second year, was this idea that Rav Kook brought up, which is how he explained that Eretz Yisrael and Davka the Talmud Yerushalmi had a stronger hold on clarity of thought in the domain of ideas because they learned in a way that integrates principles of Ruach HaKodesh, as opposed to the Chachamim in Bavel learned in a way that really only integrated the principles of logic and analysis. But that is another method that was available to members of our Mesorah who were not just big Talmidei Chachamim, but also Mekubalim and you know, had Ruach HaKodesh and were privy to more Kabbalistic principles. So that's why Ma'amarei Chazal are authoritative in that way. Right? They have the ability to learn these things out from Tanakh, perhaps more so than we do. They have a direct Mesorah from the Nevi'im because they lived at a time where these things were not written down, rather we just had them as an oral tradition. And they had traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and they were also, many of them were Mekubalim, who were kind of privy to information, not received through the Seichel, but received through Ruach HaKodesh, in a similar way to Nevuah, but a little bit different, and the nuances.
Now, the nuances of, you know, how exactly that works, I would love to be able to share, but unfortunately it's a little bit beyond me. But these are the ways that Chazal learned what is truthful in the domain of spirituality, in the domain of godly ideas, and they then passed it on to us. Now, where did they pass it on? Okay, so we already mentioned that perhaps the biggest hub of Hashgafic information that Chazal passed on to us is in Pirkei Avot, and it's 100% part and parcel of our Mesorah. And when we learn Pirkei Avot, We learn Hashgafa. We learn not a human perspective on Hashgafa, but we learn things that are profoundly true that we have through our Mesorah from Moshe at Har Sinai. Now, beyond that, the Meiri in the Beit Bechira in his commentary on Pirkei Avot actually explains the name Pirkei Avot in this way, that it's called Avot because these are the primary, these are like the Avot, the overarching categories, the primary aspects of our faith, and the kind of the core values and beliefs that we have are touched upon here in Pirkei Avot. The Ein Yaakov, again, commentary sefer on the Agaratas of Shas, points out a couple things. First of all, that it's not only in Pirkei Avot that we have hashkafic topics, but he actually extracts hashkafic information from all of Mishnayot. He says, you know, sometimes the Mishnah will just tell it to you explicitly, but sometimes you have to understand the idea behind the halacha, the idea behind the series of dinim, and that also, meaning how HaKadosh Baruch Hu orients his system to take care of the poor, as you see in different mesechtot that deal with, you know, with tzedakah, like Peah, for example, that has important hashgafic information, not written explicitly, but that's implicit in understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Aniyim, and how we should go about doing the same. So, but the Ein Yaakov, of course, as he is a commentary on the Agaratas of Shas, goes far beyond that which we learn from the other Mishnayot, and just says that all of Shas has these Agadata sections. Sometimes several dapim in a row just deal with Agadata. And what is Agadata? Agadata is Chazal giving over their Mesorah in Hashgafic topics to us. The Agadata is rich with Hashgafic ideas. You have to understand them. You have to take them seriously. And if you understand them to their core, so that then you're learning our Mesorah. Then you're learning what it is that we believe. This is the most concentrated area, or rather the most, what's the word? It's the area with perhaps the most amount of Shira Hashgafic information, the Agadata Sugyas throughout Shas. In fact, in the Midrash Tanaim, in Perek Yud Aleph, you have the following statement: "Ritzoncha lahakir misha amar vayaha olam." Right? If you are interested, if you would like to learn about the one who spoke and the world was created, basically, if you would like to study God, if you would like to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lamad hagada, you have to learn these Agadat Sugyas and Shas. Only then, through learning the Agadata, can you truly start to understand, to recognize, to become familiar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and start to attach yourself to His ways. The Rambam also gives us a very important, a very big azhara, a warning not to underestimate the significance of the Agadatas. Right? Hadrash hanimtza b'talmud, he explains. Right? All these drushes, the Agadatas that you find in Shas, ein ra'i lachshov shema'alato mu'ata v'tolato chasera. He says, don't think that they're insignificant. Don't think, you know, the Havaya Savaya Varava, the Shakla Vataria, the back and forth, this is where we learn the important things, and all these nice stories are like, okay, stories, ideas for children, for back then, but no. Aval yeshbo tivuna gedola. There's unbelievable wisdom in these stories. Mipnei shehu kolel chidot pliot v'chamudot nifla'ot ki adrash adahem kshistaklu behem histaklut sichli yuvan behem me'atova amiti ma she'ein l'mal mimeno. If you look properly at these Agadat HaSugyas, you can understand from them, truth on a level that is beyond any other place. Meaning, you can understand godliness, truth, above and beyond where it is explained in any other place. V'yigal mehem mina inyanim ha'elukiyim, right? That you can uncover from the Agadat HaSugyas truth and matters of godliness, matters of significant religious, significant hashgafic matters. That is what you stand to gain by studying these Agadat HaSugyas. And you should never come to make a mistake that because it's written like a children's story sometimes, that it's insignificant and it's not worth learning. The opposite is true. And the Ein Yaakov goes on to say that about midrashim as well. Kol midrashei Torah shebal peh. Hello hem ktuvim fuzarim betoch achibur akadosh shenichlak l'shisha sedarim kizohar akia meirim mazhirim midvash v'nofet sufim mitukim u'mistar panim romzim dvarim dakim amukim midrachei misharim al idiot ha'emet v'emuna. It says hidden, chochma musar bina, it says hidden within the midrashim. Those midrashim that we all learn and we're mezalzel. Those midrashim that we all think like, okay, you know, I would rather get the pshat. And, you know, okay, Rashi quotes a nice midrash, shkoyach, but, you know, I'm looking for the, you know, whatever it is that your perspective is on learning pshat. But all these midrashim that we think are cute and we learn when we're six and, you know, and we may not adequately respect. It says the Ein Yaakov, that's the storehouse of Ashkafic information. That's where it is. That's where the Chachma and the Musar and the Bina is. That's where the Emet and the Amuna is. It's all hidden within the Agarata, within the Midrashim. Of course, the question of why it's not spelled out explicitly to us is a question hopefully we'll get to when we study a little bit more about what a Midrash is. But for our purposes, we need to understand that the primary areas that Chazal have given over what they learn through their Mesorah, through a variety of different ways, the primary places that they have given that over to us is A, Pirkei Avot, to a certain degree in all of Mishnah, definitely the Agadata Sugyas in the Gemara, and in truth, all of Midrashim. All of Midrashim. All the Ma'amarim of the Tanaim and the Amoraim that are not Halachic are Hashkafic. And those are the places that they have imparted their Hashkafic knowledge that they have through their Mesorah. That's how they gave them over to us. So now we just need to recap what we've seen so far and build an understanding of, okay, so what do our Baalei Machshava do? So we mentioned, of course, that Hashkafa can perhaps be found in the Seichel, through Seichel, through analysis. It's most definitely found in Chumash, in Nevi'im, and in Ketuvim. It's most definitely found in Ma'amarei Chazal. We understood how it was that Chazal had the authority to share these things. And we understand where it's found in Ma'amarei Chazal, in Pirkei Avot, in Agarata, and in Midrash. Now, it's not random, it's not a coincidence that the Maharal, who more so than perhaps any other of the Baalei Machshava, likes to show his Hashkafic process, has several Svarim that are written on kind of a major Hashkafic thesis, like Gvurot Hashem, which is, you know, surrounding the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim and understanding how Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. Netzach Yisrael, surrounding the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but also understanding the nature of Klal Yisrael and how we're eternal and how we suffer tragedy, but also we, you know, have the potential to greatness. And Tiferet Yisrael, which is surrounding Matan Torah and also explains the nature of our relationship to Torah and mitzvot. So those are all kind of the major theses of the Maharal. And every single chapter he starts with a different Ma'amar Chazal or a different Pasuk in Mishle. Every single chapter, that's how he starts. Because he wants to show you this is where he gets his ideology. This is where he gets his Ashkafe. He's not making it up. But also, in addition to these major thesis works, the Maharal has other works that are commentary svarim. And it is not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the commentary Svarim the Maharal has are, any guesses? First of all, commentary on Chumash Rashi. Of course, that as being the primary source for our Hashkafa. Then he has a commentary Sefer on Mishle. It's called Netivot Olam. Every single parak in Netivot Olam starts with a different pasuk in Mishle, and you have pasukim in Mishle sprinkled throughout. And he divides it into 33 categories of study, but everything is predicated within the information given to us in Mishle, which is our second, you know, which is the greatest storehouse of Ashkafic information in the Nevi'im. And then he has a commentary on the Agadata of the Gemara. As we said, it's a major storehouse of Ashkafic information. And then he has a commentary on Pirkei Avot. It's called Derech Chaim. So it's not a coincidence that the Maharal has two types of Svarim. One is his thesis statements, and the other one is his commentary Svarim. And his commentary Svarim are focused on those exact areas that we just mentioned are our primary areas of studying Hashkafic information. Because that's what he's trying to show you. That Hashkafa is built up from the sources. that ideas can be developed from the sources, but that they must be rooted within the sources. And the Maharal is famously very critical of those who try to develop ideas external to the sources. And he says, what are you talking about? It's a Gemara. What are you talking about? It's a Mishnah. All these ideas you're trying to build for yourself, they're Gemaras, they're Ma'amarei Chazal that we are obligated to. And it's the foundation and the source for everything that it is, for everything that we believe. Okay, so we said where we learn Hashgafa from, in terms of the primary sources. Now, what are the Baalei Machshava doing? Okay, what is that Hashgafic process that we've been trying to clarify? Right, they're not just writing, as we understand now, whatever it is they think. Right, they're not just, you know, postulating, well, I think it's like this, no, I think it's like that, in a similar manner to how secular philosophers may posit. They're doing primarily one of two things. You have the approach, let's call it the approach of the Maharal, and he's not the only one to do this, he's just the one that I've seen that does it most clearly, who believes that Hashkafa is information that is built from the inside out. Right? That you start off with primary sources, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Mishnah, Gemara, and you say that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us his Hashkafa, and any question or topic that we want to address must come from there and then work our way outward to the domain that we're trying to address, but starting from a primary source of Hashgafa. And sometimes that primary source will address it directly, and sometimes it's necessary to elaborate upon it. And of course, when you get to the domain of Mishnah and Gemara, which says things in stories and very cryptic terms, so there's a much greater necessity to explain in depth what it is they're talking about to extract those principles. But if you can't show where this idea comes from one of those sources, either explicitly or implicitly, then it's not a Jewish thought. Then it's your thought. Then it's your assumptions. Then it's you making things up. Then it's you guessing about God that you do not have the prerogative to do. That is very clearly the Maharal's process. What I assume is the process of also many similar to him, except they don't really show their work as much as he does. The other process is, let's call it the Rambam process, but also not limited to the Rambam. I also know that he's the first to do it. He's just the one that I think does it in the most clear fashion, which is not working from the inside out in terms of the proper primary sources, but very often, not only, but very often working from the outside in, analyzing different, you know, philosophy, analyzing different phenomena, developing a reasonable conclusion through the intellect, but that must conform to the structure and the parameters of our Masorah. So it might be a bit of an oversimplification, but if we can narrow down the Hashgafic process to two primary modes, once we've identified all of the primary sources by which we believe a Hashgafa can be developed through, we have basically two approaches. Those that look to the Makorot and work outward, and those who examine, who analyze, who think about, who philosophize, and then look inward to kind of give structure to what it is that they're thinking and parameters for their theories. Those are the primary two, I think, modes of Hashgafic thought that we find in the Rishonim. And by that, we've addressed kind of our second question, or rather our first question, but the second question in order of how we addressed it, which was first and foremost, what is the Hashgafic process? How is a legitimate Jewish thought determined and arrived at? And then for our purposes, how exactly do we go about learning Hashgafa and determining for ourselves what we should be believing? Can we pick and choose from anything that seems reasonable that's expressed by Ma'amarei Chazal? Do we need a more proper psak, as we discussed in some of the previous shiurim? With that, we have finished our first two questions, and of course the kind of simpler of the two question of the three questions, and we're going to advance to the third domain, which is the study of those different areas of Jewish ideas as expressed in the Torah, in Nevi'im, in Ketuvim, in the Gemara, in Pirkei Avot, in the Baalei Machshava, who have extracted that information in one way or another. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through these topics in depth, very carefully, methodologically, step by step, in a way that respects that process, in a way that every idea that we're discussing can be identified in its proper source material through Tanakh and Ma'amarei Chazal. And we'll respect that these ideas don't come out of nowhere. They're ideas that have been developed over time, but that are deeply rooted in the primary sources that we discussed.